Good morning. Welcome out to Innovation Church. As we get started here today, sometimes that's where we're at. Sometimes that moment of being that lost cause, we're telling others, don't even waste your time with me. Stay away from me. There's no hope for me. Well, today on Easter Sunday 2026, I believe there's a better message. There's a better meaning here today. And so today, we're going to celebrate maybe just a little bit differently than what you're used to. Nobody was probably expecting us to start off with Jelly Roll here this morning. But we did it, and we did it for a reason. Because don't we all just love a great comeback story? Right? The team is down in the fourth quarter. They're down at the middle of the ninth, right? Everything is pointing in the wrong direction. Everything looks lost. People, right, at the game, they start walking out. There's no chance. Any UConn fans in the building? Right? There's no chance. They're down by 19 points. I'm out of here. I think there's something that comes inside of us in those moments that comes alive. Because I believe deep down inside, each and every one of us are hoping that maybe my story isn't over either. Because if we're honest, we've all had moments that feel like the end. We've had moments that feel like a failure, like a regret, a decision that we wish that we could take back. Just ask your teenagers this morning as they're talking about, then once you squeeze that toothpaste and it all comes out and you try to get it back in, just ask them how easy it is to put it back in the tube. That moment where we think we've messed up too much. And that's where we meet Peter today. Today, as we start off in Scripture, we're going to be in Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. Now, if you're new to church or if you're still trying to figure out what you believe, here's what's happening in this moment. Jesus, the Son of God, sent down to the earth, the one who healed the blind, the one who healed the lepers, the one who opened up deaf ears, the one who had blind eyes that were open, the one who raised dead people back to life, fed 5,000 with a simple happy meal. He had just been arrested. He's been betrayed by one of his own followers, handed over to the religious leaders, and about to be put on trial, and eventually crucified. But Peter, one of Jesus' closest, one of the closest of all the disciples, one of his closest friends, one on the inner circle, is following at a distance, trying not to be noticed. And this is what happens in Luke 22, verses 54 through 62. It says, so they arrested him. They led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers, pointing over to Peter. But Peter denied it. He said, woman, I don't even know him. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them, right? Because those Christians, those people that followed after Jesus, looked a little bit different, walked a little bit different, sounded a little bit different. And by just spending time with Peter, they knew that he must be one of them. Nah, man, right? I'm not. Peter retorted. Verse 59, about an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. See, they are fully convinced that Peter is this follower of Jesus, but Peter says, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Suddenly, the words that Jesus said earlier flashed through Peter's mind. It said, before the rooster crows tomorrow, you will deny three times that you even know me. It says, and Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. I don't know if you've ever had a moment where you've become the version of yourself that you said you would never be. That thing that you said you would never do, that person that you would never be like, that habit you'd never go back to. But just like that, Peter became the guy he said he'd never become. He even told Jesus with his own words he would not become that. But Peter didn't just fail. He failed in the exact moment that mattered the most. And I'm sure some of us have had those moments for ourselves. Right now, this is Peter's worst day, the moment that he thought, I've ruined everything. I'm supposed to be faithful. I said I would never leave him, and now I've denied him. And some of us know exactly what that feels like. That moment of failure where we failed a spouse, that moment where we failed our families, that moment where we failed at our jobs. Not Peter's story, but that regret, that failure that we wish that we could take back, that wish we could undo. I think the reason why we wish we could undo it is because failure has a way of telling us something very specific. It tends to convince us that our story is over. There's nothing left. It whispers, you went too far. It says, God can't use you now. It says, you done messed up, Aaron. But Peter believed it. But what Peter didn't know was that while he was having his worst day, God was setting up the greatest comeback of all time. See, in John 20, verses 1 through 18, we can read about that. Now, as we read this, though, there's this context that Jesus had just been crucified. What many of us call Good Friday. Not because it was good for Jesus, but because it was good for us. Jesus was beaten. He was mocked. He was nailed to a cross by the Roman government. He didn't pass out. He actually died, and they jabbed a spear through his side to make sure of it. After he hung there, and breathed his last breath, they took his body down. They wrapped it in linen and placed him in a tomb in a cave sealed with a massive stone. And for his followers, the people that believed he was who he said he was, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, this was their end. See, they had no hope. They had no plan B. Yeah, he talked about coming back, but they didn't. Did they really believe it? As they went back to their own jobs. I mean, really, how many people predict their own death and then pull it off? This wasn't, let's wait and see what happens. This was, it is over. But then Sunday morning happened. Right? We start off the service with that song, Lost Cause. That would be a song that we would all sing on a Friday night. After our worst regret came true, after our biggest mistake. But early on Sunday morning in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, it says, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and she found Simon Peter, the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. And we don't know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb, and they were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I always love how John likes to say that he's the fastest disciple out of all of them, right? He stooped and looked in, and he saw just the linens lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived, right? And Peter, his fashion is, right, he's the one that jumps out of the boat, walks on the water. He's the one that pulls off the sword and cuts the person's ear off. Peter's the one that, okay, I'm ready. I'm going in, right? And that's exactly what he does. Then the disciple, right? Then Simon Peter went inside and he noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first, right? John is always just that kind of disciple. And he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside of the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stopped and she looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been laying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave, and someone saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you had taken him away, tell me where have you put him, and I will go and get him." I don't know if you see what's happening there besides the foot race that Peter lost, but death didn't win. Sin didn't win. The grave didn't win because Jesus himself walked out of that grave. And I know many of us, especially if we're willing to get up at 8:30 and be at an early service at Innovation. But I want us to know today is that moment that Jesus walked out of the grave, he silenced the lie that your worst day gets the last word. See, the worst day isn't the final word. Peter thought his denial was the end of who he was. Game over, disqualified, done. You denied when you said you wouldn't. But the resurrection always says something different. The resurrection says failure doesn't get the final word. Shame doesn't get the final word. Regret doesn't get the final word. Jesus does. And when Jesus walked out of that grave, he didn't just defeat death. He defeated the idea that your story ends at your worst moment. Think about every comeback story you've ever heard, right? History's full of incredible comeback stories that remind us that failure isn't final. When Apollo 13 mission looked like tragedy in space, it turned into one of the greatest rescue missions of all time. When Steve Jobs was fired from Apple, only to return and lead it to unimaginable success. When Johnny Cash came back from addiction and obscurity to create some of the most powerful music later in his life. Even in the movies we see Rocky climbing those steps, putting in that work. We see Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness capture our hearts because they show setbacks that don't have to define us. Even the greatest basketball player of all times, love Michael Jordan, just saying, turned early rejection into being cut from his high school team into legendary success. See, they all have something in common just like we do, that moment where it looks over. That moment where there's no hope back, where there's no hope left, no chance to recover, and then something changes. That's what we celebrate today. That's what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday, where Friday looked like defeat. The cross looked like the end. The tomb, it looked final. But Sunday came and everything changed. Everything changed for you. Everything changed for me. What I believe is even more powerful is that Jesus knew Peter was going to fail. He knew we were going to fail too. Even he told him, "You're going to deny me three times." Jesus knew the betrayal that was coming, but he still went to the cross. And that's because Jesus' love wasn't based on Peter's perfection, and it's not based on ours either. It was based on Jesus' commitment to live out John 15:13, the greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friend. It's not a theory. It's what Jesus did. He went to the cross knowing that Peter would deny him, knowing that the disciples would run back to their old ways. Jesus went to the cross knowing that we would be sinners. And he did it anyway. That's a kind of love that's built different than any other type of love that we can imagine. So today I titled the message simply, "The Day Hope Came Back." Because the resurrection means that God isn't finished with you. And if the story ends, or if it ended at the cross, then Peter's story, it would be over. Our story would be over. Every time we make a mistake, it would be over. But it didn't. The empty tomb changed everything. The resurrection is God simply saying, I'm not done yet. I'm not done with Peter. I'm not done with you. And I'm not done even with Jelly Roll. And so as the band comes and finishes that song, kind of rewrites that song, I'm here to remind you that Peter went from denier to leader. He went from failure to preacher. He went from broken to restored. Why? Well, because Jesus didn't stay in that grave. And if Jesus can walk out of that grave, he can walk into our situation. He can walk into our past, into our pain, because he's ready to give us a purpose. He can walk into our failure because he's ready to give us a future. He can walk into your regret. He can walk into your marriage. He can walk into your son. He can walk into your daughter. He can even walk into your in-laws. Amen, right, Faith? I don't know if that was the right time for Faith to say amen. But he can walk into our situation, whatever it may be, and he can bring it back to life. But he doesn't do it if we don't allow him. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on us. So what do we do, though? I think the first and most important that we must do is we've got to stop trying to earn what Jesus already paid for. We simply receive his grace. We stop trying to fix ourselves before coming to him. I'm glad you're at a great place where you can turn to him. We've got to stop believing that our failure is final, because we must know that the cross paid for it all. The empty tomb proved that it's not our job to earn it, that it's not our job to receive it, that it's simply our job to bring him our worst day and receive his grace, trading our weight for his grace. Whatever that moment is for you, I'm sure you've thought of it. That regret, that sin, that failure. What if we brought it to him? Because the resurrection proves that God specializes in rewriting broken stories. And he's not done yet. So today, as they finish this song, as they redeem this song, Lost Cause, I want to give you guys a challenge. Not to let Resurrection Sunday just stay here in the crowd. Don't leave it in a field. Don't leave it in an egg. Don't leave it in a church building. Don't leave it in this weekend and come back next year this same time. Don't just celebrate the empty tomb today. Step into it, just like Peter and John did. See for yourself that Jesus is not there. And know that hope is alive. What would happen if you brought your worst day to God, the one who defeated death? Do you realize that your story isn't over? That you're no longer a lost cause? And so, just a very practical moment. These Connect cards are near each and every one of you. We made sure of it. Me and Zach, we got in here on Monday after Eggfinity and Beyond was done. We set up every chair, got every little Connect cards in the backs of every chair to make sure that you could reach them for this moment right here. So you can pull it out And you can write down your name. You can go through the whole email and phone number, all that fun stuff. But what if you wrote down your name? And write down the answer to this question. Where do I need hope to come back to life? Is anybody brave enough to do that? Brave enough to be honest in church? Is it a broken relationship? Is it that mental health? Is it your marriage? Is that a decision that you regret? Could be your faith. Maybe it's something nobody else even knows about. It's a small box, so you can't fit a paragraph in there. What if it was just a word or just a phrase where you said, where do I need my hope to come back? This matters because hope doesn't just grow where it's hidden. Hope grows where it's surrendered. Today, you're not handing a card into a church. I'm not going to read them out loud in front of everybody. You're handing it to a Savior who walked out of the grave. And if you're brave enough, you could lay it on the altar. You can come up with one of our prayer partners at the end of the service. Pray with them over the situation. There's a simple box in the back, conveniently located by the cross, where you can drop it right into there. We as a staff team and a prayer team, we'll be praying over that situation. We may even ask, how can we help? How can we come alongside? How can we support? So as they close this song, will you be brave enough to write down, where do I need hope to come back in my life? Should you be brave enough to answer that today? Brave enough to step into the tomb and say, all right, God, what are you doing here? Will you receive his grace? So we're not going to stand and sing this song. Don't worry, there's stand and sing songs coming up. Don't worry. But take about 90 seconds, 120 seconds. I didn't time out how long they're going to sing the rest of this song. But hear how the rest of this song plays out. When somebody who at the beginning of this service was a lost cause turns to Jesus, receives the grace and the mercy and the hope that he has as this lost cause turns to Jesus. See, your worst day, it's not the end of your story, because Jesus walked out of the grave, and if he walked out, then hope walked out with him. Forgiveness walked out with him. A new life for you and for me walked out with him. Some of you today, you need to take a step beyond just writing it down, though. Maybe it's time to surrender your life to him, to truly put your trust in him. You don't have to just need a better week. It's not why you're here today. You're here 2026, Resurrection Sunday. Not to have a better week, but to find a Savior who can save you even from yourself. So we always love to have an opportunity. Yeah, I promised you more songs. It's okay, we'll get there. But if you're here today and you've never, maybe today is you looking in the tomb moment, you being John, you being Peter, maybe somebody got here faster than you did, right? But you eventually got here and you heard this gospel presentation in a different manner. Today, maybe it's time for a different decision than just knowing it, but fully surrendering to it. Fully surrendering to Jesus. Saying, I'm no longer a lost cause. I'm leaning into the plans and the purpose that God has for me. I'm ready to follow him. I know I'm not cleaned up. I know maybe the decision I made was yesterday. I have a king. I have a savior who came for me, who paid the penalty for my sin. Today, I'm going to leave this place knowing that I'm no longer a lost cause. If that's you and you're here today, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We always love to have that starting line, right? Because even Rocky needed that bottom step, right? That he needed to step up and make that decision. This is where I'm going. It's worth the fight. So we pray a prayer. It's a simple repeat after me prayer, and I ask everybody to say it in the room. Whether they're in the room, whether they're sitting at home online, whether at Starbucks, driving across the country, trying to get away from these cold winds, right? Whatever it may be, wherever you are, God hears you. Maybe today is the time to turn your heart towards Him. Would you pray this prayer with me? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins, and that you rose again. I've tried to do life my way, but today I surrender to yours. I ask you to forgive me, to change me, to make me new. I give you my past, my present, and my future. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for not giving up on me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, would you put your hands together for those that just said that prayer?